Again, happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there, and to all of you men that have been like a father figure as well to all of us. You know, a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, "Well, it's just like Mother's Day, except you don't actually spend as much on the presents." So, it's probably true, right? And, you know, regardless of your spending patterns, I wanted to, you know, just say happy Father's Day and also kind of review a little bit about the history of how the third Sunday of every June has been deemed as Father's Day here in the U.S. I don't know how many of you know the history of Father's Day. I didn't really know. So apparently, back in 1908, in July, a West Virginia church sponsored the nation's first event explicitly in honor of fathers. And a Sunday sermon was presented in memory of 362 men who had died in the previous December in an explosion in the local coal mine. And it was a one-time commemoration, but it wasn't a national holiday or an annual event yet. But then in 1908, a lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd up in Spokane, Washington, sat in her church listening to a Mother's Day sermon. And she decided that she wanted to designate a day for her dad because her mother had died while giving birth to one of her siblings. And her father, basically, who was a Civil War veteran, had taken responsibility of raising that newborn along with his five other children. This lady went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and government officials to drum up support for this idea. And she was successful. And Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on June 19th, 1910. This is quite a long time ago. And then slowly the holiday spread. In 1916, President Wilson honored the day by using a telegraph signal to unfurl a flag all the way across the country in Spokane when he pushed a button from D.C. And then in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge urged state governments to observe what we now know as Father's Day. And then President Lyndon Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers in 1966. But it wasn't until 1972 that President Richard Nixon signed the public law that made it a permanent holiday. And since then, Father's Day has become a time to recognize the many different fathers and father figures in our lives. So just a little tidbit of history for all of you history buffs. But even as we think and reflect about our fathers today, let's not forget about all of the men that have had big influences in our growing up or even in our own spiritual maturing process. You know, a lot of godly men that have perhaps spoken into your life, a lot of people who have perhaps been an uncle to you, a surrogate father of some sort. And for some, Father's Day may be a big celebration, getting together with extended family, honoring all the dads in your life. But also for others, today might be a day of sadness, maybe perhaps being reminded of a father who is no longer physically with you or with us. And for others still, it might be perhaps a day of pain, being reminded of someone who you wish would have treated you a little differently while growing up. And I don't know about your particular situation. Maybe you grew up in a relatively healthy family environment, and maybe your dad was around and you have a great relationship with him. Praise God for that. Maybe you have wonderful memories of your dad, you know, fun-loving jokes, him being the goofball of the family, cracking jokes that only he would laugh at. Or even perhaps, I don't know, for some of us, maybe perhaps our fathers were absent while we were growing up, or maybe he wasn't really involved in your life as he was trying to work hard to support your family. Perhaps your father was a typical strict Asian dad, right? Very strict, a man of few words. Perhaps he didn't really affirm you or speak truth into your life. Maybe right now you and your father don't talk. Maybe you have a strained relationship, and maybe it's a bit too painful sometimes to think about that relationship. Well, regardless, I want you to think of one happy memory of your dad, and also perhaps a difficult memory of your dad, even as we spend some time together reflecting on fatherhood. And regardless of where you are and what emotions you may be facing today, I really want to turn our eyes upward from our earthly fathers to really our heavenly Father. And it's great to pause and honor our fathers today, but we really want to take this time to focus on the perfect Father, the perfect Abba, who we've all come to know and grow to love, and truly thank him, and to really take this time to reflect, to pause, thank him for who he is as a good, good Father to all of us. And when we think of God as our Heavenly Father, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it some old grandpa-like person with a white beard in a flowing white robe floating on cloud nine? Is it someone who is stern, who is about do's and don'ts, who's out to get you or out to kind of punish you if you sin? Someone who keeps a record of wrong. What's interesting is of all the ways that God would choose to relate to humanity, he chose the language and context of a family relationship. The closest of all human relationships, God chose to describe himself as our Father. He could have described himself in other terms, maybe as a dictator, maybe as a distant deity, right? Maybe as a boss, maybe as a landlord, a slave master, maybe. But instead, he chose the word Father. The closest of all relationships between a father and his child. Think about that. I don't know if I know we're used to calling God the Father, but think about that for a second. He chose to put us in that relationship, a father-child relationship, not a master-slave relationship, not a manager-worker relationship, not a dictator-tyrant-subject relationship, but as a father. No other belief system or religion has this kind of relationship, father and child. He could have easily called us his subordinates, his servants, his slaves, but he chose instead to call you and I his daughter and his son, his precious ones, sons and daughters of the Most High God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty God. And yet we're able to have this intimate relationship with Father. Can you imagine? This is the God who created the heavens and the earth, who laid the stars in the skies, who created the plants, who created the mountains, who created the birds of the field. But yet, you and I have the privilege and honor of calling him our Heavenly Father. It's actually very mind-boggling. God presents himself as a father because we all know what a father is and does. I mean, even if we didn't have an earthly father who treated us well, obviously all of our fathers are human, but I think we have an intrinsic understanding of what a good father should be like. How we all have a need to be loved, to be cherished, to be protected, to be valued, and we all have an ideal of what an earthly father should look like. But we all know that our earthly fathers aren't perfect. They're still human. And even the best fathers out there still have his flaws. But we may not realize it, but the way we actually sometimes view our earthly fathers actually affects perhaps the way we see and relate to our heavenly Father. For example, if all we've ever known of a dad who is stern or silent, we may think that perhaps our heavenly Father is stern or silent. If our earthly dad has been distant, there may be a tendency to think, well, that's just how our Heavenly Father is. He's kind of distant too. You know, we may have a limited view of our Heavenly Father and the way that we relate to him because all that we've known and seen in our own earthly fathers. So we want to ask you today to really separate out your view of your earthly father from who our Heavenly Father really is. You know, whatever impression you have of your dad right now, let's not let that affect the way we should really view our Heavenly Father. We may have to dissociate those bad experiences, right? And not to see our Heavenly Father in the same way. But we need to be reminded of who our Heavenly Father actually is and really look into the scriptures and to rediscover some of his fatherly attributes. You know, there's obviously a lot of things that the Bible says about God as our Father, but I want to take some time today to just highlight a few. Starting from the Old Testament, you know, God reminds us that he is a Father who remembers us and who comforts us. And there's a few scriptures that I want to go into, but the first passage is from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. And it says, as you can see, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you." You know, as a father, God doesn't forget about us, even though perhaps sometimes our earthly fathers may neglect or forget about us, or we think that he may forget about us. God, as our Abba, as our Father, he remembers us. He knows us so intimately. He knows us each by name. He knows exactly the things that you and I have gone through and continue to go through, and he doesn't forget. You know, sometimes it may seem like, well, God doesn't really pay attention, or maybe perhaps God is busy doing something else. But it says in Isaiah, I will not forget about you. I will not forget you. So this is one of the promises that as a child of his, we need to cling on to, that God, as our Father, he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget your name. He doesn't forget who you are. He doesn't forget what difficulty you're going through. In fact, he says he knows the number of hairs on your head. Right? He knows you so intimately. He doesn't forget. And then further on in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I, God the Father, will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." You know, not only does God not forget, but God is also a God of comfort, right? It says that as a father, God comforts us. You know, in fact, after Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. And as believers, we are comforted by him when we go through each trial, when we go through each struggle. God is here to comfort us. He's not distant. He's not asleep. He hasn't abandoned us for something else. He's actually there to comfort us. But we need to access these two things of God, these two attributes, that he doesn't forget and that he's there to comfort us. The other thing that it says in Psalm 68, verses 4-5, is that God is a father to the fatherless. You know, in Psalm 68, 4-5, it says, sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. You know, earlier, if you read with our Bible in a Year, Time with Abba this morning, you read about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, right? And how she was about to die because she was just going to cook a meal for herself and her son and then die. But the amazing thing is that God performed a miracle, right? The oil and the flour did not run out, right? God took care of this widow, and Elijah was there in the midst of it, right? But a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Now, This is actually, I share this verse with you because this is actually a very dear verse to me because of my own experience. And some of you may know, and some of you may not know, but I share this because I want to share this as a testimony of how this verse, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, has really applied to my life. Some of you may know that I was born in Vietnam. This was before this was during the wartime in the 70s. And after I was born, my dad passed away a few months afterwards. And so I never knew my earthly dad. My mom was a widow. And we left Vietnam a few days right before the fall of Saigon to the communists. But this verse is actually very, very meaningful to me because I have seen God's faithfulness in my own life. And even though I have not known really my earthly father, my heavenly father has been so real to me. You know, there's never been a day where I've not lacked, where my mom has not lacked. We came over as refugees. In the 70s, we were on food stamps, on welfare initially. We didn't have an easy life per se, but God was always faithful. He always provided. You know, sometimes my mom would work two jobs. Sometimes my aunts and uncles would pitch in. But God was always faithful. And so, I stand before you today as a testimony to God's faithfulness, to really his goodness in saying that he is a father to the fatherless, that he is a defender of widows, and that he actually provides for our needs. And it's not just for those who are actually fatherless, but it's also really a promise for those that really don't know our Heavenly Father. You know, if you think of those people who do not know Jesus Christ, that do not know the good news of God, they are fatherless. They are without a Heavenly Father. This also applies to them, that we also need to recognize that the people in our neighborhood, the people in our schools, the people in our workplaces, those that don't know Jesus, they're without a father. And God says that he wants to be a father to them. You know, for those of you going out to Mexicali, for those of you going to YWAM, for those of you, that are going on these short-term mission trips, these are the people that Jesus wants to reach. These are the people that God wants to be a father to. And by you taking the good news to them, you are basically revealing to them, sharing with them that, hey, there is a Heavenly Father who wants to comfort you. There is a Heavenly Father who doesn't forget about you. You know, from the New Testament, we move on to a verse in Romans. The New Testament talks about the term Abba, Father. So if we look at Romans chapter 8:15, it says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father." Right? We talked about the fact that God chose to not call us slaves, right? He's adopted us into his family. You know, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he has bridged that gap that kept us from God because of our sin. Jesus made a way for us to have this personal relationship, this access to our Heavenly Father. And it says, by him we cry out, Abba, Father. Before we knew God, we were slaves, slaves to sin. We were in darkness. We had no hope. We sang about the living hope earlier this morning in worship. God adopted us, brought us into his family, gave us new life, and now we have the privilege of calling him Abba, Father. You know, the word Abba, some of you may know, is Aramaic, and it's a word that most closely is translated to the term daddy, right? You, I think a lot of us know this, right? It's actually a common term that young Jewish children would use to address their fathers. And some of the Jews today still call or still refer to their dads as Abba. Cheryl used to work with a rabbi's wife, and she would at times call her dad Abba, right? Daddy. It signifies a close, intimate relationship of a father to his child, as well as a childlike trust that a young child would put when he or she says daddy. And when, as you may have grown up, you know, you may remember calling your father daddy, running into his arms, maybe feeling his tight embrace. But this is how we're supposed to relate to our Heavenly Father. There's not supposed to be a distance between us. We're supposed to have this intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. How many of us actually call him Abba? How many of us actually call him Daddy on a day-to-day basis? I feel like this is what we're lacking. You know, sometimes we know of God, oh, he's so mighty, he's so high, he's so lifted up, he's so out there, he's seated on his heavenly throne. True. But there is this intimacy that we actually have. And I think a lot of us as Christians, unfortunately, we're not accessing that intimacy. We're not accessing the right as a son or as a daughter, that we can call him daddy, that we can jump into his lap, that we can let him hold us, that we can say, daddy, I want to be with you. Daddy, I want to sit in your lap. I want you to speak over me. Where is that intimacy with Abba today? In your life and in my life. When was the last time that you just came to him with no agenda? That you didn't have a long laundry list to say, God, will you bless this? God, will you bless that? That you just spent time because you wanted to be with your Abba, that you wanted to be with your dad. You know, even as we reflect on Father's Day, I really want to challenge you to really carve out some time for Abba, to really carve out some time to have an intimate conversation with him as your faithful father, not only as your comforter, not only as the one who doesn't forget, but as your daddy, the one who loves you, the one who cherishes you, the one that you can run into his arms. Someone that will pick you up when you fall down. You know, he has his open arms. There's no shame. There's no fear. There should be no separation. There's full access. He's not out to get us. You know, this is the inheritance that we have, but we need to access it. Not only just because it's Father's Day, okay, but we need to access this on a daily, regular basis. You know, I was thinking about just our response to really our Abba. And I was thinking about, well, you know, yeah, we in our heads, we know, yes, this is all God. This is all good. You know, he loves us. You know, he's merciful. He's gracious. And I was just reminded by, I think, how our response should be. Some of you know that Sharon and I have three kids. Our youngest son, Enoch, he's two. He's almost turning three. But I feel like God has taught me a lot through looking at or observing Enoch and his relationship with us as parents, and in particular, his relationship with me as his father. And by no means am I the perfect father. By no means, you know, am I whatever, but Enoch is very interesting because he actually prefers me over Cheryl. Like the other two kids, they would go to mom anytime. Like, and some of you know Esther, like she's so clingy to Cheryl, right? But Enoch, he's actually really clingy to me. And I was kind of taken aback by this. I'm just not used to this clinginess, but it's actually really cute, right? And so he actually wants me to do everything. Like, and I don't mind, you know, I don't mind holding him. I don't mind changing him. I don't mind changing his diapers, changing his clothes, giving him a bath. But he actually prefers me to put him to bed over Cheryl. And you know, he's been recently waking up at night. Who does he call out to? He doesn't call out to his mom. He calls out to me. And so I'm like, oh. Like, 1 a.m., 3 a.m., this morning, I think it was a 4 a.m. I mean, so Cheryl can take a break, right? This is great. After two kids, this is the third kid. But I'm like, oh, like, why is he calling for me? Call for your mama, right? But this little boy, he calls for his daddy. And some of you may have heard, and Pastor Elliot has coined the term, Papa boy, right? And so, but he actually calls out quite loudly sometimes to me as Papa, you know? And so, and again, I haven't paid him. I haven't done anything to him to like bribe him to like me more. I don't know if he likes me more, but he just, some for whatever reason, he wants me more. I don't know if you have a few pictures, Nicholas, but to show, but it, you know, I wanna share some stories. This is at New Vine, okay? So it's very, very interesting because, you know, some of these things I don't even know about, but Cheryl kind of like has shared some of these stories with me. And perhaps it's not as apparent here because, you know, at New Vine, our kids join us for worship and they eat with us and all that stuff. But anyways, you know, sometimes at New Vine, when I'm in the front praying, apparently Cheryl basically says he's clinging to the seats and he's so excited to see me. And sometimes in the past, he would yell out, Baba, Baba, which is Cantonese for daddy or for father. And he's quite loud and quite intense. And then, you know, apparently one time they got to New Vine late and Cheryl was about to take the kids up to the children's ministry. And she told the kids, but Enoch just really had a very sad face. And he was like, I wanna see Baba. And so Cheryl basically had to wait while she took up the other two kids until I was done, you know, praying or whatever. And then I came to the back and basically he hugged me and then he went up to his nursery without incident. But, you know, and then one time when I was on a business trip before I started ministry at the church, I guess I didn't know this, but you know, I would call back or whatever, you know, call and FaceTime with the kids and the family. But apparently there was one dinner time that Enoch was so upset that every time the kids or Cheryl mentioned the word Baba, he would start to cry. And he would be like, Baba, Baba, and just really like wanting, I guess, to see me or to talk to me. And there's this one video, if you can roll the video, he's literally clinging on to my leg at New Vine and like clinging on to dear life as I'm walking, as I'm trying to sit down and eat. He's like holding on, right? Like just, like he won't let go. And I feel like, I mean, I feel so honored, right? I'm like, wow, this is, I don't know what I did to this boy, but you know, but as I was reflecting on this, like God was really reminding me, shouldn't this be how we are with our Abba Father? We should be so clinging on to Abba, but a lot of times I don't. A lot of times I take him for granted. A lot of times I just think, oh yeah, he's up there, you know, he's on his throne. But this is the relationship that he really wants with us. Not just a relationship to call us his child, but this is the response that we want to have with our, that we need to have with our Abba. This clinginess, this desire to be in his presence. This desire to say, God, I'm not gonna leave until, like, if you go, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna hold on to you. I am gonna follow you, and I'm not gonna let go. Shouldn't this be the response to our Abba for all that he has done for us, for all that he has done in your life and in my life, for his goodness, for his faithfulness, for the times that he has picked us up from the pit, from the time that sometimes we didn't even know he was working, for the times of his grace, for the times of his mercy, for the times when we've been unfaithful, but yet God has been faithful, for the times that he has provided over and over, even when we didn't deserve it. For the goodness of God. So my question to you, brothers and sisters, is even as we come before the cross today, is what is your response to Abba's great love for us today? What is my response the love is that is so wide and so deep. And how can we be like a child again? How can we be coming to him just with a childlike faith, with just a desire to be with our daddy, with just a desire to say, God, I want to hop into your arms. I want you to hold me. I want to be with you. I don't want to have an agenda anymore. I just want to sit.
Close your eyes for a moment and just put your hand on your heart. I woke up this morning with a little bit of sadness. I was sitting outside in the porch preparing for today, and I saw all my friends posting the picture of their father, celebrating the Father's Day. And as I was looking through, I was really happy for them, but for myself, even though my father is alive, I don't know if I could say that I was able to celebrate this day for who my father has been in my life. And I believe I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous today. I'm going to dismiss you with prayer just in a moment. But I feel like there's some of us here in this room, as we sing about the goodness of God, as we sing about this intimacy with the Father, some of us, we actually don't know how to experience that because our earthly experience with our biological fathers in this life, it took me a long time, really, for me to experience and even encounter the love of the Father in a way that God really wanted me to experience. It took a long time. So I want to just leave this space open for any of us who really want to experience and encounter this love. For there are some of us who lost our fathers early on. There's some of us, like Douglas said, that when you think of that word fatherhood, it's more painful than actually something celebrative. I want to invite you this morning just to really enter in. And it may take some courage for some of us to do that. But I really believe God's heart for us this morning is really to pour out his love in a way that we could never experience, even if you had a good father in this life. His love is far greater, far higher, and so much more. So I want to just make that open invitation for some of us just to come, and some of the pastors and leaders here will stand to really bless. It's the Father God who wants to bless you, but we're going to stand and pray with you. So be courageous. Don't miss out on this opportunity. And the rest of us are ready to go. I bless you that even as you walk out of this place, the love of the Father, the presence of our Lord Jesus, and the empowerment and the grace of our Holy Spirit to be upon all of us. In Jesus' name I bless you. Amen.